Yeah, she's pretty good.
She's good.
I've seen her a couple of times, and that guy, he's like the Tom Arnold to Pat Benatar, the Greg Giraldo.
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden he attached his name to her.
Well, it wasn't all of a sudden. They've been
married. Well, I know he's done all kinds of things, but it was
the 1980s.
Everybody was going to see Pat Benatar.
He wrote all
the songs.
They're
not going to see Greg Giraldo. Yeah, but they're not going to see him.
They are.
They're not.
Because he's been...
They're not going to see the screenplay person. They're going to see the director.
No, but he's... You know? He's the lead guitarist.
Oh, I know that.
There are people, believe it or not, there are people who go to concerts to see the musicians.
Let me put it to you this way. If somebody called you up and said, hey, let's go see Pat Benatar, you'd go. If somebody called you up and said, hey, you want to go see Greg Giraldo this weekend?
My first question would be, is Greg Giraldo playing? If the answer is no, I'm not going.
Isn't Greg Giraldo the guy that died, the comedian?
No. That's a different story.
It's Greg Giraldo, right?
Yeah, that's a different story.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, it's like I that should have been branded like that from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that she got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and said no unless you put Greg in with me. Because he's part of the music. And that's a great story.
Well, that's because they're married. It's Neil Giraldo.
Neil Giraldo.
See? You don't even know who the hell he is.
That's a great story, the two of them. The problem is when you know Greg Giraldo and it's like, oh, wait, yeah, Greg, no, it's not. Wait.
But you know what?
Which one's dead?
Fire and Ice, Shadows of the Night, good songs. Hit Me with Your Best Shot.
He wrote all those songs.
But nobody was looking at him. They're all looking at Pat Benatar.
They were looking at him because he's up on stage wailing on a guitar doing those awesome solos.
All the girls are looking at Pat Benatar and all the guys are looking at Pat
Van Benatar. Halen was not called David Lee Roth.
I know, but that's completely different.
No, it's not completely different. The guitarist...
It's not called the David Lee Roth Band. It's called Pat Benatar.
No, but Van Halen was called Van Halen because Van Halen was the guy that was...
No, there's
everyone
two Van
was going
Halen
to
brothers.
See.
There's actually three Van Halen.
Yeah,
brothers.
But nobody cared about the guy on the keyboards.
Of course they do.
No, they.
Well,
really
they didn't
don't.
Even play keyboards till 1984.
I know.
But Pat Benatar, you're going to see Pat Benatar. You're going to see Neil Giraldo.
You're going to see her sing, and you know she's singing Neil Giraldo's songs.
Tom Arnold has a career because of Roseanne. Neil Giraldo has a career because of Pat Benatar.
What did he
started out good, but he needed her.
What did Meatloaf do on the Bad Outta Hell album? What is the title? When you pick up the Bat Out of Hell album, what does it say on the cover?
Yeah, but you're going to see Meatloaf.
What does it say on the cover?
It says songs written by.
It says songs
by. That's very rare.
It says songs by Jim Steinman.
Yeah, but that's very rare.
Right?
Okay, do you want to go see Jim Steinman this weekend?
Absolutely. Hands down.
How many rock and rollers are you going to call and say, let's go see Jim Steinman?
Is Bonnie
week?
Tyler going to be...
You want to go see Pat Meatloaf?
Singing any of that stuff? No, I'll go see Jim Steinman.
All right.
That guy wrote so much awesome stuff.
Yeah, without Meatloaf, though, he's nobody.
But the thing that's happened in like the last decade or so, especially with younger generations rediscovering all this music through Spotify and... satellite radio, you know, whatever you're using, is that a new context and a new appreciation for the history of the music has emerged. Like, how many people know that Roger Taylor created the 1980s sound? And Roger Taylor...
From Queen?
No. Excuse me, not Roger. No, not Roger Taylor.
Yeah.
Andy Taylor. Duran Duran.
Well, Duran Duran, yeah. Andy Taylor's great.
Yeah.
But Andy, you're going to see Simon Le Bon.
Andy Taylor played on everything. And all those songs that you love that came out of the UK in the 80s
unless you're a musician,
have Andy Taylor on them.
Unless you're a musician, you don't know that. Most people know Simon Le Bon and Everybody's Cute and Duran Duran.
Right.
That's what they know.
But this is what's happening now is people are realizing that there's actually like a handful of super influential musicians that were doing all this stuff behind the scenes and they're getting credit for it now.
Yeah.
And Neil Giraldo is one of those guys. He deserves every bit of credit he's getting.
I don't know. I like Greg Giraldo.
Well, we all like Greg Giraldo, but...
Well, he's gone. Give us something new. What do we got? Something that is a... What is this? Something that's going to... It's going to break the internet.
Oh, man. I got something here. I don't think I can play it.
Really?
I don't think I can play it.
I have something that's really... I don't think I can play it today. But I think I might going to play it anyway.
It's...
We'll see.
FCC Clean.
Yeah.
Theoretically...
All right.
Are we?
Mine is too.
Don't turn off our mics. Is what I'm gonna.
Oh, all right.
I'm gonna press.
We're gonna press play
on this.
We're not gonna talk over. We're gonna talk over.
You may want just say
just
stop.
To say what it is.
Stop when you say stop when you get worried.
All right.
Okay.
Ahead. Yeah. Well, do I need to beep anything?
No.
Okay.
I'll be lying on my back.
I like it so far.
I may already be erect, full, and wanting. If I'm not, I can be aroused to erection by the feel of your hands or your mouth.
The hell is this?
Say stop. Penis. Say stop when you think it's gone too far.
When you are ready for me to be inside of you, tell me by voice or touch or any signal at all. Or just settle yourself astride me, across my thighs, as you would mount a horse, in the saddle, your knees supporting your weight on each side of me. Raise yourself now, over my midsection, and take my penis in your hand.
Oh boy.
You are in control. I want you to take and receive your pleasure from my penis.
Jeez.
You can now be the performer and the instrument. Feel my penis in your hand.
Boy.
And move it up and against the lips of your vagina.
Come on. Jeepers. Come on.
Enough?
I think that could be termed obscene.
It's FCC safe. There is nothing being said in this.
It's a little obscene.
There's nothing being said.
It's an act, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's an act.
Somebody put this thing together in the 1970s. I know no one really knows much of anything about it.
Wow. So what is it?
It's just called Sex Album. That's what it's known as.
Sex Album,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
All right. That qualifies as a what is this?
You know.
I'm sure a few people drove off the road on that one.
There's more. Like,
what is going on there?
But there's more, but you know, it
made Terry Cupcake O'Mason blush.
It continues in that vein is
oh,
all I'm going to say. But I mean there isn't anything in it that is a prohibited word.
Really?
It's very clinical all the way through in its descriptions.
I have a set from 16 years ago that I did that's it's edited with beeps, but I do say a lot of filthy things.
Yeah.
And it's from Lou's Place.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, what happened to Lou's Place has no business being on the last time we put that on the air here, we almost burned down the studio.
Really?
Yeah.
I worked hard on it, beeping it, though.
So.
How about, let's talk about the arcade again.
I've been there.
Moon Patrol. I don't say anything worse than the freaking penis, the vagina stuff you got going on there. You have the vagina stuff happening. We talked about games last week a little bit, and I played Moon Patrol. Let's put on my favorite game from the last few years in the background. I decided to find the Civilization VI theme.
Oh, God.
Yeah. What do you mean, oh, God? Have you played this game?
Myers. No, I haven't played this game. I have a pulse.
You have a... Come here, break. You got a pulse.
I have a pulse.
You're a gamer.
I'm a gamer. I'm not sitting there like, oh, I'm building the Roman Empire. No.
That's not what it is.
I'm like shooting stuff. I'm driving cars wicked fast.
All right. Well.
That's what I'm doing. Dirt 4.
That's great.
Go get Dirt 4. Drive some cars around.
Dirt 4?
Yeah.
That's the kind of games you play?
Drive some cars around really fast.
No. This requires strategy?
So does Pokemon.
Does it? I don't play Pokemon.
Yeah. You got no strategy for Pokemon.
Civilization 6, man.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. The Sid Meier stuff is good, but you're doing the same things over and over and over again, and it
teaches you how to get better at it.
Yeah, I know. To me, it just kind of burns out after
600 hours, man.
Yeah,
you get better and better.
Wow, really?
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it?
Like
you have to do 600 hours, don't you?
By like I remember Sim Earth, and by 600 hours, like the plants had evolved and flown off of the developed like interstellar technology.
I don't have time for games anymore either, but I enjoy this game. It's fun, and I didn't expect to. And I think it's great. I think it's a very positive game, too.
What
happened with this nonsense you were saying last week about Sid Meier's being a bad guy or something?
No, apparently it wasn't him. It was somebody else. Everybody's been canceled now.
Oh, jeez.
Everybody's been canceled.
I don't think so.
They got all up on with Sid about something. I forget what it was.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know the man, but I like his games.
I got one of those train simulator games.
Sid Meier's Pirates. Remember that one?
I loved Pirates.
See, that's a great game.
I love Pirates.
Yep.
Pirates, unfortunately, never, ever got a good console version. The best version of the game is still the one that came out on the Apple II back in like 1985.
I think I had a version of it on PlayStation 2.
I had that version on PlayStation 2. And it's like they added graphics to it, but and they added like a rhythm game to it where you had to dance with the governor's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how well you danced, she'd like you or not like you. And it was like, this has nothing to do with why I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here to like ride the ship around and like, you know, take the Spanish Armada.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here to do. And it just didn't feel right. It didn't work right. It wasn't nearly as good as the original game.
Are you ready to do something black this week?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Get that lined up.
I don't think we should call it that, but, you know.
I think we should.
I don't think
I'm all about not canceling things.
But I don't think anything good follows that phrase.
It will if you put James Earl Jones on doing the Black Genius History.
This is true. This is true.
Of course it is.
James Earl Jones, of course, as we mentioned last week, because you listen every week. I don't need to recap, but I do need to recap.
Well, it's self-contained, and it's a bonus for people who have listened.
Correct. So. Yeah. James Earl Jones has got some important information about Social Security. And for you to appreciate that important message about Social Security, we're going to talk about disco.
Oh, good one. Disco, yeah. Huh? I still love this Civilization theme. It's a great theme. This is like from a movie. It's the beginning of a video game. It's awesome.
They just added a Grammy category for that this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
this
nice.
Is the first year they had an actual Grammy for video game music.
Well, my first would go to Sid Meier's Civilization VI, because I've stopped that game, and I just play the theme in the background for hours on end.
You should give it to the guy who wrote the Super Mario theme.
That's a good one, too.
Hello, this is James Earl Jones. Welcoming you to...
Oh, you're not on Aux 3. You got him to speak.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yeah. That's why that's not coming out correctly.
There you go. Hold on.
You know, I'm juggling multiple devices here.
No.
And my hands are covered with lotion from that other thing that
I
just
boy.
Played. So,
jeez. I'm going to play me live at Lou Place. Keep it up.
We didn't play all of it. I just wanted to see if you thought it would be appropriate for the show. But
yeah, it's good.
I guess it's not.
It's fine.
Hello, this is James Earl Jones for Social Security, welcoming you to Genius on the Black Side. Time was when black singers, composers, and musicians had to struggle in the backwaters. Now, in the concert halls, on Broadway stages, and on Hollywood sets, they're right up there, front and center. And right up front, I'd like to invite you to listen to a genuine example of genius on the black side. Topping the charts across the country is the hot new group, Chic, whose first single, Dance, 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 really caught on and head of the national pop, disco, and rhythm and blues charts. Their debut album, called Chic, became a hit soon afterwards, and Chic crisscrossed the nation on their first tour. Their music is light and airy, and as they put it themselves, it's just for fun. We'll give you a sample right after these words from Social Security. If you're like most people, you're probably looking forward to your retirement. Whether those years are as rewarding as you expect depends a great deal on you and how you prepare for them. With foresight and planning, you may not have to make any drastic changes in the way you live when you retire. Social Security was never meant to be your sole source of support when you retire, but rather a base on which you should build during your working years. If you put some of your earnings into pensions, savings, or other investments, you won't have to depend completely on your Social Security retirement payments. This isn't always easy to do during these times of high inflation, but you should certainly try. If you plan ahead, you may find out that your retirement years turn out to be the best years of your life. For more information about retirement, call or write any Social Security office. Someone there will be glad to help you. Get on your feet with Chic. Let's dance with Le Freak. Freak out.
everyone. It's up to you. Sure, they can be done. Young and old are doing it, I'm told. Just one try, and you too will be sold. It's called a freak. They're doing it night and day. Allow us, we'll show you the way.
Once again, it's time to go. And once again, it's time to remind you that you must apply for Social Security benefits. They do not come automatically. If you have any questions, just visit or call any Social Security office. They'll be glad to help you. Until next time, when we pay tribute to another genius on the black side, this is James Earl Jones saying so long.
Godfather of soul, Mr. Dynamite, and the hardest working man in showbiz, but very soon he may be known as the defendant. Grammy-winning soul singer James Brown is about to embark on a South American tour, but it's this tour that prompted his latest brush with the law. Brown says that he and his wife had an argument because she wasn't going on the tour with him. Adrian Brown and South Carolina police say that in the argument, it resulted, as a matter of fact, in Brown assaulting his wife with a lead pipe and firing a gun at a car that she was in. These are charges that Brown denies. He was released yesterday on $15,000 bond. He joins us from Atlanta to discuss the charges, and we welcome you, James Brown. How did all of this trouble begin?
Living in America. Nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong at all? You're not in any difficulty, but you're out on bond.
No, I'm not.
Have all the charges been dropped?
Yeah, I'm out on love.
Well, are you out on love or out of love? Which is it?
Out on love. Alone from night to night, you find me.
Now, James, this isn't the first time you and your wife have had a problem. Are the two of you going to be able to work this out?
Let's talk about some music.
You want to talk about music, and you don't want to talk about what happened?
No, it's all over.
Well, let's talk about your tour. When are you leaving?
We're leaving tomorrow.
And where are you going?
Rio de Janeiro and Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Now, your fans will have read all about this, James. Aren't you concerned about that?
No, Dagestan. I'm concerned because there's nothing wrong.
And what are you going to say to your fans when they ask you some questions about it?
I'm going to say I feel good. Papa's got a brand new bag. It's a man's world.
Well, that's the second time we've heard that in 2 days. That's very interesting. Now, don't leave us, James. You stay right there.
I'm not going to leave
that. We have to talk about. Well, tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing on this tour.
What'd you say?
What are you going to be doing on this tour?
I'm going to be doing Papa's got a brand new bag, living in America. Sex machine, get up off of that thing. I feel good. Jam.
Now, I understand that you already... James, I have to ask you one serious question here. I understand you already have started divorce proceedings. Does that mean that you're now eligible?
Yes, I'm eligible. I'm single. I want to mingle.
You want to mingle?
Yeah.
Now, the women love you when you get out there. Why do you think that is?
What'd you say?
The women love you when you get out there.
Why is that, ladies?
Well, I'm asking you.
Huh? Because I look good.
What do you think that is? You
look good. I smell good. I feel good.
And you sing good.
And make love good.
Oh. Well, there we are. We don't have to ask anybody else. We got that from the source. There you are. Now, you're involved in publishing a gospel magazine. Tell us a little bit about that.
The Second Coming. It's out of Augusta, Georgia's ankle. Joseph P. Young is the editor, and James Ryan is one of the advisors. And we're doing a fantastic job. The Second Coming. It features, on this week, I think we have the Pope and I believe the Williams brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And next week we're going to have Reverend Al Sharpton, I think, on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be doing a lot of good things, and hopefully we'll get Brother Ted Turner on the cover. Ted, where you at?
James, we want to thank you for being with us today.
Wait
and
a
giving
minute,
us
I
an
just
opportunity.
Got here.
Oh, is there something more you want to say that we haven't covered?
Yeah, I want to say a lot of things.
Okay, go ahead.
I love you. I love America. I love everybody.
Well,
I feel good.
It sounds to me as though you're not troubled by any of this at all.
This is a man's world.
Thanks for reminding us of that. Every once in a while, we forget.
Get up on
it. We've remembered again. James, good luck on your tour. Thanks for being with us. I guess we're going to hear lots more.
Hasta luego.
Okay, hasta luego.
There you are.
That's how you handle the media, Derek.
That's right.
Right there.
That's right.
That's how not to get canceled. James Brown.
I feel good.
James Brown completely ignoring her setups. It was obvious that was Sonia live in L.A. His third wife, Adrienne Rodriguez. He got into a couple of good incidents with her in 1987 and in 1995. He was arrested a couple of times on charges of domestic assault against his wife. Beat her with an iron pipe.
Yikes.
Shot at the car. And charges were dropped after she died in January of 1996.
Was that before or...
Charges dropped when somebody dies.
Was that before or after the multi-state police chase?
That was actually... This interview was before that. But James Brown had trouble all through the 80s and 90s, but... I think that's a very interesting piece in that he handles the media very well. And
yes.
People think he's actually on drugs there. My opinion is he ain't. Because as soon as he starts talking about the religious program that he's got, he focuses on that.
Yeah.
But he just completely ignores her bait and clicks.
Yeah, he's not having it. You know. And,
yeah.
But the other side of it is everybody does that now.
What, beats their wife and shoots at their car?
No, you get any of these people on TV now, and it's like, what's really happening here? And they're like, you know, here are my talking points.
Yeah, well, I think more people should be like James Brown in that respect, because he handles it masterfully, I think. He gets across the point that I am going on tour. I want to put this behind me, even though it just happened.
Yep.
You invited me on. I'm going to do a promotion. I'm on CNN. I'm going to promote my shows. I'm going to promote my program.
Where's Ted Turner?
Yeah, and she wanted to bait him, you know? I mean, there's nothing more insulting, I think, now than the media inviting somebody on and just bait and switching them. It's like you invite them on and act super nice until you actually hit that record button.
Yeah, but
and then you're just a complete ass.
But everybody knows that's the game now, and they invite people on who want that.
I don't think people have to be on guard all the time. You know,
this is how we wind up.
Unfortunately, that's the way we are. So if you have any celebrity, you do anything wrong,
this is how
everybody's
we wind up with
ready to just get rid of you.
Marjorie Taylor Greene and Rashid Tlaib in Congress, you know, is this whole, like, everybody's on all the time, and, you know, my brand.
It's going to get worse. I didn't put them there, but it's going to get worse.
Oh, we know it's going to get worse.
Yep.
Maybe the Chinese will eradicate us, and we won't have to worry about it anymore.
I'm just saying, James Brown ain't all that bad of a guy. May have done some horrible things, but he was a big promoter, and in the end, you know, he died before he was canceled,
understood.
In my opinion.
Yeah, understood the business. Oh, the kids today would not be having James Brown for more than like two minutes.
Not at all. I met him at Foxwoods. I went to the show, and there were seats. As soon as I got there, the seats were taken, So I went to the usher and I told him, you know, I had somebody sitting in my seats. They had printed out the exact same seats for tickets, and they ended up moving us right to the front of the row.
Nice.
Which was awesome. And then I was sitting at a blackjack table, and James Brown came up with a little entourage, and he started playing some blackjack.
Nice.
And he won a couple of bucks. And of course, at the end of it, when he was leaving, he was saying, James, how do you feel? And he said, I feel good.
Nice.
Which was pretty good. We have a fan called in last week, and I'd like to play this message for you, Derek, if you haven't heard this yet. This is pretty cool. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm just calling because I'm listening to What Is This? And I just want the two DJs to know that it is a fantastic show, and I love listening to it. They have no idea how much it's hitting such an awesome nerve in my memory, and it's so rad. Passing it on. Bye.
Isn't that nice?
I haven't been called rad since 88.
Yeah? I've always been rad.
Yeah, I haven't been rad for a long time.
I've always been rad. So thank you to that caller for calling. I thought that was very nice.
I started wearing,
I was worried when he started to use the F thing. I'm like, oh no, we're in trouble.
I started wearing ties in college, so they wasn't rad anymore.
I don't know. I hope he enjoyed this week. Who knows? It's all over the place this week.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's a love show.
It was supposed to be a love show.
According to you.
You know,
I was never on board for a I don't know. You got it in writing?
Are we going to do this?
I say a lot of things and I do other things.
Do you know that I predicted the score in the Super Bowl? I was off by 1 point.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Did you win any money?
No.
Oh.
And because I didn't.
I came close twice. I had that 7-0 and it was 7-7 first quarter. And then I had a 3-5 that almost came in the fourth.
I said the final score was going to be 37-34. It was 38-35. Because I didn't post it all over the internet, yeah. I don't get any internet points for it. I don't get any credibility.
You don't get anything unless you're right.
Credit.
That's gambling.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's gambling.
But that's like, that...
Doesn't matter unless you won.
That prediction, by the way, would have won the tiebreaker in pretty much any pool out there unless somebody was like, well, I'm going with 38-35 because I'm a moron.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but you didn't put any money down, right?
No.
All right.
I get up in the morning. That's enough gambling for me.
Well, everything's a gamble. Like, life's a gamble. Getting the other night was a gamble.
I'm over 50 and overweight. Getting out of bed is going to kill me.
Everything's a struggle.
That's
now.
A gamble. I got no business wagering money on top of that.
Do you remember getting up in the morning on Saturday and listening to Baba Papas? Do you remember these guys?
Oh, my God.
They're like big blobs.
No, but this was my life in like 1974.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the Baba Papas.
They were so odd. And it was so weird. It was like from another planet to me. I'm like, I'm listening to like French cartoons early in the morning on Saturday morning. I thought I was going nuts. I'm like, Ma, what's wrong with the TV? She's like, that's French. I'm like, what?
When I was very small, I loved the Baba Papas in the same way that I believe my son loves Minions.
Yeah.
Like he can't get
the babbling of it.
Yeah, he loves Minions.
Yeah.
The Minions are, you know. I think he might like Gru more than the Minions, but he loves Minions.
I actually saw the Banana song on my playlist. I was thinking about bringing that 1 week. The Minions Banana song.
Nice.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
I got something good from the 70s right here.
All right.
My sister's on it.
What is this?
This is Greater Bostonians.
Greater Bostonians.
Yeah.
And your sister's on it.
Yeah, they were a band of picked out of high schools around the greater Boston area.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd get together and rehearse, do a couple of concerts. They were on TV.
Nice.
It was a project of a local conductor. They're going to do some Tom Jones for us.
All right.
We'll be right back.
Nice. That's great.
This is my my sister playing viola on that.
Viola?
Yeah.
My first instrument was the triangle. That's what I remember in kindergarten. We each had to go into the percussion section in that big box and pick something. I got the triangle.
I never got the triangle because some other kid always beat me to the triangle. I wanted the triangle.
That was me.
Everybody wanted the triangle.
I got to play it.
Yeah, you were that kid shoving everyone else out of the way saying, that triangle's mine.
No, the teacher knew I was good. Teacher knew I was going to be good. That's pretty good. I like that.
I played some violin when I was growing up.
What's the difference between the violin and the viola? It's like the size of it, right?
Octave.
The octave?
Yeah. It's about, nice. There's about a one octave difference between the two of them. The viola is a little bit lower than the violin. It is meant to complement the violin.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got your cello, which is... So it's basically alto... or it's basically soprano, alto, tenor, bass.
Okay.
So the violin is the soprano, the viola is the alto... And the cello is the tenor.
Nice.
And it mimics the four octave ranges of the human voice.
Okay. In the background here is Jungle Hunt. Do you remember Jungle Hunt?
I love Jungle Hunt.
It was originally called Jungle King.
Yeah. They had to get rid of that.
And then the Tarzan
culturally people, insensitive.
The Tarzan people got upset.
Was it that, or was it that the Pacific Islanders were suing for, like, you know, bad representation?
I think it was the Edward James Burroughs?
Did the Burroughs estate get involved?
Yes, the Burroughs estate got involved. Poor. Because the very beginning of it, a man comes out in a loincloth, an 8-bit man.
Yeah.
And he's dressed up as Tarzan.
And he does the Tarzan yell.
And he does the Tarzan yell. The Wilhelm yell?
No.
Is that what we call it?
No, the Wilhelm is a different... That's the Star Wars thing.
That's the... Oh, no, I thought that was from Tarzan, too.
No.
When he goes,
Yeah, that's the Tarzan yell.
It's the Wilhelm too, isn't it?
No, the Wilhelm is the guy screaming when he falls off the horse.
Really?
That they use for like death sound effects in all the Star Wars movies.
Oh, see, I always thought it was part of the Tarzan because because in Return of the Return of the Jedi. What's the third?
Chewie does the Tarzan yell, which upset a lot of people at the time.
Yeah, it was annoying. Yeah, I didn't like that. I'm like, I'm watching Star Wars, not Tarzan.
Yeah.
And then in Revenge of the Sith, when you're on Kashyyyk, all the Wookiees, you get another one.
I know, they're doing the Tarzan yell. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid.
That's one thing about George Lucas. I'm like, what are you for?
Well, you know...
Come on, man.
You know what that is? That's George Lucas being Quentin Tarantino. You know, I'm going to put in all these little winky references to things that I loved when I was a kid.
Yeah. You know who was good at stuff like that? Alfred Hitchcock. He'd just show up, he'd like walk by, and you're like, there he is.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
And then people would die.
Yeah.
And you were under suspicion, and you had to run away.
He was a master of that.
Good movies.
But like Tarantino has to show you like a giant foot or like a girl's ass. Well, the girl's ass, usually that's pretty good.
But yeah.
The giant foot, I'm like, come on.
Well, it's a different era of filmmaking he's referencing the 70s and all those great exploitation films that I love.
Yeah, I just got Cinema Speculation. I started reading it. I'm not really agreeing with most of the stuff he's saying, but I don't know. He's trying to make, like, you know, The Funhouse 1981. He's talking about that movie in it, acting like it's the best thing ever. It's all right.
It's okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, he's picking out. He's got, like, Dirty Harry. He's got some other movies. Dirty Harry is one of the best.
Huge, huge, hugely influential movie.
I haven't finished the book yet, but I just started it, actually. It's all right.
Dirty Harry does not get nearly the amount of credit that it deserves for reshaping cinema, not just in the United States, but in Europe.
Yeah, I love Dirty Harry.
Like, Italian cinema changes completely because of Dario Argento and Dirty Harry.
What a bummer it was to see Gran Torino, and you're figuring you're going to get Dirty Harry, and then Clint Eastwood just turns cheek.
Yeah, he's gotten gentler in his old age.
Well, he's definitely old now.
You know,
the Mule was good.
I mean, you think about it, you know, Clint Eastwood...
Cry Macho was lousy.
Clint Eastwood is a World War II veteran.
Yeah.
All right? I mean, let's think about that for a second. How many of those left?
It's awesome.
And it's like, I think you get to a certain point in life where you're just happy to be alive. And if somebody's going to come at you with some politics or some other nonsense, you're just going to be like, you know what? I'm just happy to be here, so I'm going to be nice to people.
Yeah. You know what's cool about the Jungle Hunt? You basically had four screens. You started swinging on the vines.
Yep.
Then you jumped in the water.
Yep.
And you had like a knife and you had to attack the
crocodiles coming at you.
Then you had to jump over rocks that were coming down at
Depended on the version. Sometimes there were logs.
Rocks or logs. And then finally, you had two, like, witch doctors.
Yep.
And the girl was coming down from a vine, going into a boiling pot of water.
Well, possibly. Yeah. I mean, that's... You know, that's our white privileged interpretation of what was happening.
Well, that's what happened. Well, it was Japanese. The Teio bacon.
In reality, she could have been being lowered into a sauna and did not appreciate having some doofus in a loincloth show up and beat everybody up.
Those witch doctors look mean.
You know.
But that's why, you know what's funny is they change it to Jungle Hunt, and it's basically just the same guy, and he's got like a jungle hat on.
Yeah.
That's it. He's the British explorer.
Well, he's got the Banana Republic khakis and matching shirt.
Nowhere near as fun as the Tarzan loincloth with the yell. Nowhere near as fun. But I still enjoyed the game. It was a good one.
It was a good good early platformer.
The theme, nowhere near as good as Moon Patrol. But it's fun for an 8-bit. It's got a nice bits of sounds to it.
You know, the Japanese had this stuff figured out.
And if you were a kid of the 80s... you recognize it. If you were in that arcade, you recognize it because it actually has a nice theme to it. Some of them just had noises and bells and whistles, but the good ones had themes to them. If you're like putting on a loincloth and jumping from vines, this is your music.
If you could beat this, you were pretty good.
Yeah, this was a hard game. I could beat it. You get a kiss at the end.
That's right.
Yeah. That's one of the things that was kind of cool. You'd get a kiss. Even Mario, didn't he get a kiss from the princess?
Yeah,
she
wasn't the princess at that point. That's not the princess.
She was Princess Toadstool.
No, that's somebody else, actually.
Who was she?
That
was regular Mario Brothers. Super Mario Brothers, she's a princess.
Donkey Kong was Pauline.
Oh.
And Pauline.
Yeah, that's right.
And she, in the most recent...
I forgot about Pauline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the most recent game, she is the mayor of, I forget the name of the city.
Good for her.
But she's a mayor.
Good for her.
And Mario's still doing his Mario thing. But Princess Toadstool doesn't show up. She doesn't show up until Super Mario Bros.
That's feminism right there. He's still a plumber. But she became the mayor.
That's right.
That's nice. Good for her.
Well, she went to college. He didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was too busy hanging around having a good time with Luigi.
Hey, Titanic's in the theater again.
Why?
I'm just 25th anniversary, and they were trying to my opinion is James Cameron just wants to put that Titanic money up there to make it more money, because you get to put it in the theater, because he's worried about somebody overtaking it, like the Avengers or something. Did the Avengers overtake?
Yeah, it did.
Titanic did it really?
Oh, it overtook everything.
Really?
Yeah, top grossing film of all time.
Well, it cost like $25 to see it. When you saw Titanic, it was like $5.
Can I go see Titanic on a double bill with Avatar 2, and will food be provided?
Yeah, I don't know.
Along with an IV for my butt.
No, Avatar
for 6 hours
one.
in a movie theater.
Avatar's number one. It overtook Avengers because they re-released that this year.
That's why they do.
Titanic's number three.
You know what?
He wants to have the top two and get rid of Avengers Endgame.
You know, it doesn't matter because either way, Disney gets the money.
That's true.
So they're going to be on board with this. When's True Lies going back in theaters? When's True Lies going to be available anywhere in any format other than the DVD that I bought 30 years ago?
I got it on Laserdisc, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably still
Jamie Curtis is great in that.
I probably still have my Laserdisc of it. It hasn't been released since like 1995 since like 2000 on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Never got a Blu-ray.
It didn't?
Never got a Blu-ray.
Huh.
Doesn't have a 4K.
That's interesting.
Everybody's like, where is it?
So that's James Cameron's movie. How was that released? Was that a studio that wasn't him?
No.
Yeah.
Because
I'm pretty sure he did almost everything. Like, he's got his own production company.
I'm pretty sure it was him, and he's the reason it's not out.
And then he has the distributors.
Because he set up Lightstorm after Terminator 2.
Hmm.
And True Lies was after Terminator 2.
Interesting.
So, I don't know where it is. It's not on any kind of usable physical media, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to watch a standard resolution DVD from the Bush era, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what life was like before 9/11.
It was better. It was much better.
Yeah. But I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis is in that movie. Schwarzenegger's in that movie.
She's great.
Like, Jamie Lee Curtis is everywhere.
And guess who else
all
is in
all at once right now?
Tom Arnold.
Tom Arnold.
He can thank great in that movie. He can thank Roseanne for his career.
Yeah.
Same as Neil Giraldo.
He's great in that movie.
Neil Giraldo's in that movie. I told you I would play some rare prints every week.
Neil Giraldo co-wrote the script, you know.
Yes. I told you I'd play some rare prints every week for Black History Month. I can't, you know, James Brown kind of covers Black History Month for me this week.
Sure.
But I'm going to put a little Prince in there.
Is that the real theme tonight? Is Black History Month? And sure. I was just told that the theme was going to be love songs?
It's Black History Year, Derek. We're going to be playing Black History every
week. Every year is Black History
Year.
Yes,
every day should be Black History Month, in my opinion. It's a loose theme. That's what is this about? It's just a loose theme.
Well,
it could be anything.
No, but I mean, you told me that love songs was the loose theme, and then the theme's so loose,
this.
That's not the theme.
I don't remember saying this.
You did say that. What? Why do I have love songs here?
That wasn't a love song.
Did I make this up? Not Unusual is a love song.
Was that last one? I don't know.
That's a love song.
How's this? How's this for a love song? Remember my bloops and farts I made?
This is good. Is this Prince?
Yeah, it's his drum machine. That's his drum machine. We can listen to more James Brown. Now, I'm going to put on a one from 1999 from Prince. It's very good. It's called Beautiful Strange. It's a fun Prince song. Here.
Yeah.
You heard this one before?
Yeah, I've heard this one before.
Yeah, this was never released. This is a cool little Prince song. Here we go. In honor of Black History Month, it's Prince, who's half black, with Beautiful Strange.
Look for the way to the light. Words so strange that only the mind can say. Say. If it makes the mind color, holy day. Why is this king the only one that we?
the cold. Like an embryo grows, beautiful, strange.
From 1999, that's Beautiful Strange. I don't really like that period of Prince that much in the right before the 2000s and the early 2000s, but I like that song a lot. It's kind of a Jimi Hendrix tune, kind of got a Jimi Hendrix vibe to it. Anyway, that's Beautiful Strange by Prince. You can find it on Rave Into the Joy Fantastic, a different remixed version of that, but that was an unreleased track.
It's a nice groove. A
long, long time. Yeah, very good.
Like all of that stuff wound up on Napster. Like every that was one of the great things about Napster was every unreleased Prince track
Napster
was on Napster.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Prince didn't care because he was mad at Sony.
Well, and also at first he was on the internet all the time, and then all of a sudden he was through with it.
Yeah.
You know, Prince was way ahead of everybody because the guy didn't sleep.
He realized that the internet was a pile of crap long before the rest of us did.
Oh, it's a disaster.
It's so bad.
It's a disaster.
Why are we still on it? Why is it still?
It because it rules us.
When can I just
the internet has become our god more than money.
When can I just rent ChatGPT to be me on the internet and not have to deal with it anymore?
Remember when you used to have WinPops at work and you can just say hi to your friend that was across the room from you?
Yeah,
and just be like, hey, want to go for a smoke, have some lunch? That was fun. That's all you need. You don't need all this stuff now. Now you get 100 texts a day from people.
I remember office life before the internet.
Yeah. Remember when you used to have to wear a shirt and tie all the time?
Yeah. I never really had one of... Well, no.
I did.
I never really had one of those jobs.
Yeah, I did.
That's why
I am the way I am now.
I had jobs that appreciated you, wearing a dress shirt. But
a pair of slacks.
I was never a five-day-a-week tie guy.
No.
And I was never going to be a five-day-a-week tie guy.
I think there's something to be said being dressed up.
I respect people who do it.
Yeah.
Clearly, you were going places and doing things in life that I will not.
Early on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different paths.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, it's, I clean up nice. I can go stand in a room and suit and tie with the best of them. Mm-hmm. I just don't care for that particular lifestyle.
Well, it is a man's world, as James Brown tells us.
It is.
You know what's funny, too, in that Sonya from L.A. there, she's like, oh, you keep saying that. So she obviously didn't know his catalog either.
Yeah.
That's what's interesting, too. It's like she's just trying to get him, but then she doesn't even realize he's actually saying lyrics from his songs while he's replying to her.
It's because a producer said, we got that guy that got arrested over the weekend. It's James Brown. And she's like, okay, great. Let me ask the questions. And she doesn't have anywhere to go. She doesn't know who he is. She doesn't know why she's there.
Yeah.
Other than she's supposed to get some quote about something that he's not going to give her.
That's right. It's a PSA from James Brown. James Brown, soul brother number one, always fighting. Kid Dynamite. I'm fighting for your life. I'm fighting for your life because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Yeah.
Stay away from drugs.
Great PSA.
Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs. Because they are super bad.
super bad, super bad.
As soon as he did that audio recording, he took his $100 that he made and he went and bought drugs.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Hey, anybody got some heroin bag up in here? I feel good.
James Brown's great. Great showman. I love them. How many showmen are there anymore? You going to pay $300 to go see Springsteen?
No. I got the invite. So this is the way that they've done this.
To see Springsteen?
I
saw this. You sign up to be a fan.
So you sign up to be a fan.
To have the possibility.
I miss the days when you could just be a fan without signing up, right?
And you'd wait in line at Ticketmaster or Strawberries.
But now you have to sign up to be a fan. You have to be a verified fan or you're not a real fan. Right? And they're going to look into your background and figure out if you are in fact a fan.
Because they want all your data.
So you sign up to be a fan. This is how Ticketmaster is going to fix this, apparently. You sign up to be a fan, and then if you are selected,
right,
you get a link to buy tickets. Nice. That is still not a guarantee that you're going to be able to buy tickets.
But here's the other thing. The tickets are still $200 to $300 a ticket.
Yeah.
Like he's through the roof this round. I mean, I get it.
Well, he was charging $300 a seat on Broadway.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, this ain't Broadway. This is like toe-to-toe, you know,
this is Foxborough. This is section 317, row 26 at Gillette, which if you've got a fear of heights, don't go up there.
Yeah, it's like, I think that's him. I'm not sure. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. The band Cake is actually going to be here.
In the studio with us?
It's possible.
That'd be nice.
It is very possible.
They can come in. Cake, if you're in the area, stop by.
It is very possible.
We will talk to any celebrity who wants to come into the station.
We're not going to talk about politics.
We're not going to talk about any current day nonsense. We'll talk to you about what you're famous for, and that's it.
I ended up getting a book called Bound Away, and it's a Cake song, and it was released as a CD single back 10 years ago. And what they did is they took all their old clothing and recycled it and made a pulp out of it, and they made the book out of it.
Mm.
And it's really, really cool.
It's cool.
And I just happened to be on there. They were re-releasing one of their albums, so I bought vinyl and I got a shirt and stuff. And I'm like, geez, there's a live concert in there. And they haven't had an album in 11 years. And there's a live concert in there for a festival in California. I wonder if they're finishing up their album. And then sure enough, within a couple of days, all these tickets popped up. They're playing down at the pavilion that we went to. It's now called the Leader Pavilion, I guess. And I'm going to go see them. And it's cheap. Pretty cheap.
I like cheap.
Yeah, it was like, you know, 75.
You know, I don't like being online paying $5,000 for Bruce Springsteen tickets.
Yeah. I had myself, and I actually had a couple of different things from Lewis, but I'm not going to play them because, you know, they are a bit raunchy. Even though I edited them all,
we're from a simpler
we'll do them another time.
They're from a simpler time.
Yeah, from a simpler time. They just happened to be 16 years ago today, which I thought was
interesting.
Which I thought was kind of interesting.
Simpler time when Tony Romo was the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys and not a broadcaster.
I'm going to play some Cake for you.
We were innocent.
I'm going to play it for you because we were talking about money last week, and they made a song out. And Cake kind of they throw love songs out there and other things. But this is a fun little song that they did about just an item, which was a dime. Like, in your change, you ever really think of a dime much? Probably not. It's probably like the penny.
Is it a nice dime?
You think of a nickel better than a dime, but this is a fun little quirky song called Dime. We'll be right back. You're listening to What Is This on WMFO in Medford.
Cheap motel in the dark and dusty corner by the TV shelf is a small reminder of a simpler time when a crumpled up pair of trousers lost a brand new dime. Will you ask me how I made it through and how my mint condition could be you when I'm on the ground.
Mellow Max has his muscle with
isn't
him again.
Isn't that a nice little song about some change?
It is.
You don't think of the Roosevelt dime that much, but vat of them, maybe swimming in a vat of Roosevelt dimes would be fun.
They're all looking menacing over there.
Isn't that what Scrooge McDuck did in the
When are you guys going to get out of here? Stop talking about money. You got things to learn.
This has been What Is This? 617-627-3800 used to be the number. 855-915-WMFO is the studio line. It's WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. My name is Chris Earle, and my co-host is Derek Gary.
I am.
And we will be back next week with all love songs, I guess.
Hey, here's our post-credits bit. What's the theme going to be next week so you can change it up on me?
I didn't change the theme.
You did.
You had plenty of nice stuff in there.
What's next week's theme?
You're going to have to tell me.
Okay.
And then I'm going to change it.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be, what is this? That's the theme.
Doesn't work that way. If I do that, that's just a delusion.
What is this? This is Derek unfocused.
That's just a delusion if I say what it is.
What is this?
My God.
Next week, WMFO in Medford.
There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair.